Sue, would you call the roll?
Here.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. We have two items this afternoon. First, Mayor Hales sends his regrets. He is home sick, and we wish him a speedy recovery. And Commissioner Novick has a family matter he's addressing, and we wish him Godspeed. We have two items this afternoon, and without objection, I'm going to ask, we have a four-fifths item, which is something that gets put on late in the game if four members of council so deem it appropriate, and we have a time certain. If I can indulge our honored guests, I'd ask Sue if you would, without objection, read the four-fifths item, and I'll recognize Commissioner Salzman.
Item 118-1, assert the city's intent to engage in a fair, deliberative, data-driven community discussion of potential enabling ordinances resulting from the potential removal of the preemption on inclusionary housing in the 2016 state legislative agenda session.
Quite a mouthful. Commissioner Dan Salzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. The city's number one priority in the legislative session that just convened on Monday is to lift the ban on inclusionary housing, or also known as inclusionary zoning. I've been working very closely with our government relations staff and the sponsor of the Senate bill to lift this preemption, Senator Michael Dembrough, and that Senate bill is 1533, to assist him in moving this legislation forward in Salem. Last week, Senator Dembrough and myself had a meeting with local developers to learn of their concerns about implementation of inclusionary housing if we get the ban lifted. And I'm pleased to say that many developers are now supporting lifting the ban on inclusionary housing. But they do have some concerns about the implementation of such a policy by cities if that ban is lifted. And in particular, with respect to Portland, there are concerns about how we will engage the development community in the process, and that we consider the impact of the impending changes that we have on the table in a holistic manner, that we look at issues around linkage fees, around FAR bonus incentives, as well as inclusionary housing, and that we consider those all together. And so we have a resolution here that is in response to a request by Senator Dembrough to put the city council on the record that during any consideration by the city of inclusionary housing, that we would engage in a community-wide data-driven discussion that would include the development community as well as affordable housing experts and advocates, and further, that a panel of housing experts with representation from the development community would be expected to advise the council throughout the discussion of an inclusionary housing ordinance. So I do want to thank Senator Michael Dembrough. I would like to read the resolution. I want to thank Senator Michael Dembrough for his leadership. I particularly want to thank Sarah Zahn of Gurney Eadland Development and Dyke Dame of Williams and Dame. Sarah and Dyke are down in Salem as we speak, lobbying senators to support Michael Dembrough's bill. So if I may just read the resolution. And due to what President Fish was saying, we can't actually vote on it today, but I wanted to at least get the text of the resolution out into the public record. It reads, whereas the city of Portland is committed to meeting its growth needs in terms of households and employment over the next 20 years, Portland is projected to add approximately 260,000 new residents and 140,000 new jobs, whereas the City of Portland is committed to enacting policies that will meet its need for quality, affordable homes for a growing and socioeconomically diverse population and to help ensure equitable access to housing, whereas the City of Portland in its 2016 legislative agenda has prioritized lifting the statewide preemption on inclusionary housing ordinances, whereas Portland rental costs have increased an average of 8 to 9% or roughly $100 per month over the previous year. Similarly, for for sale units, have increased prices have increased by 32%, or roughly $75,000 from the market's low point in 2011. As a result, it is increasingly difficult for working families to live in neighborhoods close to their employment and where their children attend school. Whereas an inclusionary housing ordinance would provide an affordable housing tool that links the production of affordable housing to the production of market rate housing, inclusionary housing policies reduce affordable housing by requiring new residential developments to include a certain percentage of affordable housing units. Whereas, if the legislature were to lift the preemption on inclusionary housing in the 2016 session, it would allow City Council to comprehensively consider the use of the tool, while it also considers its comprehensive plan, incentive zoning, and linkage fee proposal. Now, therefore, be it resolved, if the Oregon State Legislature lifts the statewide preemption on inclusionary housing ordinances, the City of Portland would consider the use of an inclusionary housing ordinance to create affordable housing within new market rate residential developments. And be it further resolved, during the consideration of any inclusionary housing ordinance, the City of Portland would engage in a community-wide, data-driven discussion that would include, but would not be limited to, members of the development community, as well as affordable housing experts and advocates. A panel of housing experts with representation from the development community would be expected to advise the council throughout the discussion of an inclusionary housing ordinance. And be it further resolved, all discussions regarding an inclusionary housing ordinance would be grounded with consideration of the city's needs to meet its comprehensive growth goals. So, as I said, we will vote on this the next opportunity we have the requisite number of council members here to do this. And but I know that's very important to many senators who are considering lifting the inclusionary housing ban, that all cities, including Portland, commit to doing it fairly and, you know, having a fair process where all voices are heard in crafting the inclusionary housing ordinance. So thank you, Mr. President, for that.
Mr. Francis, do you want to say something?
No, I had a process suggestion, but I don't think that's going to work either. So
we're pretty much shut down by our attorneys and our clerk.
Well, the charter, I think, comes into it too. So.
Thank you, Dan, and I'm pleased that the council has made this our number one legislative goal in this short session. And in our breakfast recently with our legislative partners, we're very clear that we would not consider this short session a success unless the preemption was lifted. And to those who doubt that there's a compelling need to address this now, as Dan noted at the breakfast, you have to focus, just all you have to know is three numbers. In the last 3 years, the private sector has added close to 23,000 private units in our city. Less than 3% are affordable under any definition you want to use, and over 85% are actually classified as luxury rentals. And we cannot afford to wait another year to have a tool that allows us to build in a modest amount of affordability into new development. So thank you very much, Dan, for your leadership. And this matter will be continued until next week?
I think so.
Do we have four people next week?
Well, we'll have to consult with the city attorney, but the way I interpret it, next week it'll be on the regular agenda. It will be, you know, plenty of announcement.
Oh, okay.
And so three votes.
Shrewd reading of the charter. We'll double check that, but let's put it on the Wednesday agenda. We can always move it if necessary.
And you can get it added to tomorrow's agenda without it being a four-fifths?
No, I cannot do that.
So that then my process suggestion does come into play, that perhaps we, because it has to be the same four people that put it on as vote on it, so we may need to refile it, do another four-fifths tomorrow when the mayor is here, in case Commissioner Novick's out next week.
Okay, that's a good idea. Thanks.
We'll be giving college credit to those of you who are here for your civics class, and now democracy in action. The matter is continued till next week. Thank you.